fighting for America.
The classical definition of a hero is a person who puts themselves at risk for the benefit of others. You have young Americans, all volunteers. Those youngsters have put themselves at risk, and so have their families.
Fighting for Idaho.
We don't do it for personal gain. We serve our country because we love it.
Fighting for you.
A family member that I recognize sitting there meditating, looking at the name engraved on a memorial, their loved one. And they know that somebody cares and somebody's not forgotten their loss.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here at Cloverdale Funeral Home. Getting ready, the construction underway. TV crews are here. Governor Otter will be joining us. And we will, again, remember our great veterans. We urge people to come out 5 o'clock today. If you can't make it today, the wall will be up until Sunday night, 24 hours. It's free. Of course, you'll see all the flags here. Do appreciate our friend Terry from Cloverdale for being on with us earlier today, just talking about what it means to him and really underscoring what we're talking about here when you see the threats. You know, I always used to say in our speeches when we'd be on the road that whenever we look at a challenge, and today, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, network television, whatever, it's always a challenge. It's always the most important election. What's the most important election? This election. And I sit there and think to myself here at 580-KIDO, 580-5436, as I see these veterans and I see everybody else, you know, the cost of freedom. And how many of us really understand that? And really, when we're talking about the Vietnam War, and those of us, look, I'm 46. I remember the fall of Saigon. I remember people leaving. You know, I remember the veterans being disrespected. You know, can we ever repay that? Can we ever really learn what that was like, what that war was about? And if so, will those lessons be applicable to what we're doing today? That's an issue that needs to be resolved, number one. Number two, you know, I look at these volunteers out before 8 in the morning already assembling the display here. And that tells you that despite the challenges, there are solutions. And that's what we focus on here. You know, you can be against a lot of things, but what are you for? Well, we're for Idaho. We're for faith. We're for family. We're for the troops. And we're seeing that right now. It's never the government that offers solutions. It is the people. And before we get to talking about ISIS and ISIL and boots on the ground, before the governor joins us, a song that resonates with me concerning imagery, concerning what it was like in Vietnam, and the veterans will tell you, it tells the story, and that is Goodnight Saigon by Billy Joel. Really just sets the mood here. So let's listen to that here at 580 KIDO this morning.
Soulmates on Paris Island, we left as inmates from an asylum, and we were sharp as knives, and we were so gung-ho to lay down our lives. We came in spastic like tameless horses.
There you have it. Good night, Saigon. From Billy Joel, Kevin Miller here at Cloverdale Funeral Home as we continue on getting ready for the American Veterans Traveling Tribute. Volunteers from across the Treasure Valley already here putting this together. It'll be here till Sunday. A dedication ceremony will be here tonight at 5 o'clock. We'd love to see you. I'll be out honoring our great folks. Quickly, we go to the phones. By the way, would love your thoughts on a variety of issues, which we'll get to in a minute. Dan in Boise at 580-KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Did you see in Boise? This is Dan in Marsing.
I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead, please. Dan in Marsing.
Okay. That's okay. I was over in Vietnam, and when I came back, you know, it wasn't real bad because I was at a naval base, and I know that when we used to land in San Francisco and that, then we was a lot more ashamed. And my problem has not been as much with what happened in Vietnam, because I was a naval photographer, and my job was to take pictures and to run to help run the cameras on the airplanes to do reconnaissance. But when I come back, that's when I started having all my problems, because the VA wouldn't recognize my eyes as a problem that could have been caused by Agent Orange or from Vietnam, even though I had a doctor that almost got in trouble on it.
Well, remember how long you had to fight, and other veterans had to fight to recognize that Agent Orange was a killer, that was a problem, that was, you know, perpetrated by our own government.
Agent Orange. And because I had a friend in Fallon, Nevada, that he was exposed to Agent Orange, and they didn't want to admit that it was caused by Agent Orange, and you could see blotches of yellow on his skin and orange, and he died from Agent Orange a few years later.
Yeah.
Did I lose you?
No, I just like to listen sometimes.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I know that it is good that I see that we've got a wall now to give tribute to the Vietnam veterans.
Well, it'll be here till Sunday, Dan. So, can you get a ride out here?
Because my eyes are I'm almost blind.
All right. Well, maybe someone will take you.
Yeah, I would like to.
All right. We'll leave your number, and maybe someone will take you out in Marsing.
Okie doke.
All right. Don't give me your number now. We'll put them on hold. Dan, thank you for the call. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580-KIDO. Here you have a young man whose eyes are going bad talking about Agent Orange. You know, that's one thing that we, and I really don't know what they're teaching in schools today, whether it's, you know, the history of the Gulf War or anything else, but the unique challenges of the veterans returning from Vietnam. You've heard them here this morning. We've heard the history of the Purple Heart. And in America today, where we support the troops, is that really enough? Is that really enough? You know, we talk about supporting the troops, but in the end, do we really, with a veterans crisis, with the idea that you have the administration sitting back and saying to ourselves, well, you know, we need to cut the benefits. Why would you cut the benefits of someone who went and fight the bad people? Why would you do that? You know, we've spent billions of dollars with the Iraqi army, with the service and everything else. And yet I sit back and I think to myself here, you know, why would we skimp? But those are my opinions, not yours. Number one. Number two, in addition to that, we're taking a look at a few other issues. Scotland has declared they're voting today on their independence, whether or not they're going to be leaving the United Kingdom. Do you ever think that would happen here in Idaho? Could we ever see a day where we leave the United States of America? All things considered, when you're talking about leaving America. Now, I don't know if it's Ron Paul Jim or Tom Munns or anybody else. I wonder about that. I wonder about that, considering the federal money that's being allocated to us. What, we get our budget, 30% of our budget comes from the federal government. Would you be in favor of voting for your independence here? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And before we get to the phone calls and the governor and everybody else, we're joined by our great friend, a friend of the veteran, Reverend Bill Roscoe of the Boise Rescue Mission. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Miller. How are you?
Humbled.
I am, too. It's so good to see you here. I sure appreciate you being here and being a part of the whole weekend with the wall. Thank you very much for your honor and appreciation for veterans, all of us. On behalf of all of them and you, because you are one, thank you.
Well, you know, you're quite welcome. Thank you for your service. And, brother, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to all these volunteers here?
Well, it's a tremendous tribute to all veterans, and it's great to see so many people out, and great to see the Cloverdale Funeral Home take this on as a project and sponsor. We've got a lot of our own veterans from the Rescue Mission coming out here to help and pull security. We'll be cooking a little bit of food, and of course, I'm a part of Post 63, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and we'll be out here with some food and other volunteer activities. But I hope that every veteran in the Valley and any veteran that can get here, I hope they come. I hope they take a look at the tribute. I hope they meet the people here that are volunteering and realize that they are appreciated and respected.
What do you make of this? We have like probably about 50 volunteers here at 580KIDO putting this together already.
I'm not surprised, Kevin. You know, there's a lot of us here.
Now, wait a minute. In the age of cynicism, in the age of here we have ordinary Idahoans putting this together. They're not getting paid for it. They're not doing anything. That's amazing.
But they love their country, and they appreciate veterans. And many of them are veterans. I can guarantee you that. There's a lot of veterans out here this morning working hard to get this thing up for people to come and see.
Right.
It's an amazing thing. You know, I saw the traveling wall a long, long time ago, and it was so emotional. I could only spend about 15 minutes there. And then I got to go to Washington, D.C., and I saw the Vietnam Veterans Memorial there. And, of course, I am a Vietnam veteran. And, again, I was overwhelmed with emotion. When you think of over 58,000 young men and a few women in those days who paid the ultimate price, and then to see the way things went in Vietnam, it's just a... You know, it's such a gut-wrenching experience to know that so many gave their lives with pure hearts and with a clear determination to further democracy, to further freedom and liberty for people. And yet, in the end, I think our government failed us.
You know, that song, Goodnight Saigon, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's a pretty good testimonial. Kevin, don't play it while I'm here. I don't want to hear it again, but pretty good testimonial, I think, of
the brotherhood. We'd all go. I mean, here's the deal with you and for all these people here. We'd all go down together. For most of us, that's symbolic. You lived it.
That's what we do. You know, that's what soldiers do.
Right. Hang on. We're going to save you. Let's go to Gene and Cuna at 580KIDO with our great friend, Reverend Bill. Hello, Gene.
Good morning, my brother. Just first thing, Kevin, I need to apologize to you and to everybody listening. Yesterday, I got a little bit graphic about this thing with ISIS, and I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have went probably that far. I really apologize for that because I think I went a little too far with that. But anyway, this thing with, you know, with Vietnam, like Reverend, I was there, my buddies were there, and we were in country for almost 4 years, and it doesn't get any easier. And when we come back, our wives and a lot of our family members, they don't understand the camaraderie with our brothers that were there. They don't understand that, you know, when you're in a firefight, you're back to back, and, you know, you had each other's lives in your hands. And, you know, no matter how much you're loved by someone here, they just never will understand how much you love your brothers in arms and what you went through. And I really wish that people would understand that, because if they would understand it, this country would be a whole lot better off, because we could actually work together to get things done, and we could actually win. We could really win. But listen, my brother, I'm about to well up here, so I better quit. But I will talk to you soon, my brother, and you have a blessed day, and I'll try to get out to the memorial and see you folks.
God bless, Gene. Thank you for your service.
God bless.
You,
my brother, and you
All right, there we have it, Gene Acuna. It's all right, Reverend Bill. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to traffic now.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Not everyone in Idaho can go back to Washington, D.C. to see this memorial. So to have it here is very special, and, you know, it's a memorial. It's sacred, and it's an opportunity for people to come and visibly touch and feel the name of that person that died for them, that died for our country, that died for the principles that we stand up for.
580KIDO, Governor Otter with us today. Governor, a very special day for you. You, a veteran here, honoring the veterans.
That's right. Well, and this is special for a lot of reasons. You know, wars are kind of a generational thing. And since World War II, the whole nomenclature, the whole philosophy of war has changed, because World War I, World War II, and almost every war before that, we declared war on a country.
Right.
You know, we said, you know, if you agree with Hitler, all right, you're part of that. You stay in Germany.
Sure.
We're going to come after you. Now we're declaring war on people, or on a people, I should say. And it makes it very, very difficult. And even though, you know, North and South Korea were divided by the 38th parallel, or supposedly so. But you know, the problem was they all looked the same. And you couldn't tell who was the enemy and just by looking at them, I should say, uniform was
right.
Something. But today they don't wear uniforms.
Right.
So, you know, it's a different philosophy. And I, you know, watch the TV early in the morning and all the talk about what's going on. But this is special, Kevin. This is special because one of the things, if we learn nothing else about the Vietnam War, how dangerous it is to declare war on a people rather than a country, is that also how to bring our warriors home. I mustered out off of active duty in 1969. I went in 68, and when I came home from active duty, then in order to get the military rate, you had to wear your Class A uniforms. And so as I went through the airports and out of Fort Knox, Kentucky, out of Louisville and into
Agony, Misery, and Heartbreaker, the three big hills there. I remember them well, sir.
I do, too.
Yes.
And hiked every one of them.
Yes.
And we even lost a few people on those because I was there. Well, I was going through my basic training during the summer months. I left on the 5th of July.
Wow. The triple nickel, that's where they filmed Stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went through AIT. I was recon,
cool.
C5R2 in Disneyland, right above the Patton Museum. But anyway, as I was coming home, I had to go to D.C. and then come back through for a day or two, and then come back through Chicago, Denver, Salt Lake, and then Boise. And as we walked through those airports, I didn't get spit on, Kevin, but I felt like I had. And it took a while. That was an unpopular war. And, you know, like it or not, there was a lot of folks that I served with. The draft was still on then. There was a lot of folks that I served with. They didn't want to be there. They didn't like the war. You know, hey, this people had done nothing to us. But, it was part of all the Truman Doctrine, you know, you retain them where they are. And so if there's a threat to the freedom of people in that country, they're a threat to the freedom of the people all over the world. And so it was unpopular. So to see the honor that is giving to the wall now by this generation and by the generation in between us in all those cases, I think it's very gratifying to see it.
Well, it's nice to see Cloverdale Funeral Home bringing this out. And I was amazed at all the volunteers here before 8 o'clock to put this together. It's not a government program or anyone else. These people are here because they believe.
Exactly. A mile and a half up the road here, or a mile up the road, at the corner of Cloverdale and Franklin, is where I spent a lot of time milking cows, starting about 4:30 in the morning. And we farmed about 350 acres up there, and we milked about 100 head of cows, 85
not anymore
of the time. Oh, no. In fact, this was so far out in the country when I was going to high school.
Right.
We went back toward town to hunt. That's where all the pheasants were between here and Boise, and the duck ponds and the doves, whatever you were hunting. There wasn't any deer, although I did see a reindeer over here. A little closer than I've ever seen one. I watched them do this in Jerome. They've picked some pretty good sites, a nice rural setting, and it was amazing how many folks showed up from all over, around Gooding County and Lincoln.
Gives you hope.
Twin Falls. Well, and it's amazing. It's a belated respect.
Right.
It's maybe even a quest and a prayer for forgiveness by some folks for saying, you know, it wasn't the soldiers, it wasn't the warriors' fault.
Right.
Maybe our leaders didn't make some right choices, but it wasn't the warriors' fault.
More with Governor Otter next, 580 KIDO.
Brian Wiley, weekdays at 6. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Governor Otter with us. Governor, welcome back.
Thank you. And once again, my congratulations for the Marconi Award. Did you have to speak Italian to receive that?
No, but...
Yes, I like these very much.
No, but I did make an impression, Governor, when you know, it's like a big ceremony. So you go up there and everybody's very dignified. Well, I ran up there, got out of breath and started screaming, yes, 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 shaking my fist, and then made a speech about localism and all the things that we do here in Idaho.
Really? So, did you mention my name?
I said I owe it all to Governor Otter. No, but I did mention Kevin Godwin's name.
That's a good thing.
It is. Governor, you take a look at the campaign.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the future of Idaho. It's the political season. You're rolling.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, the difference is always going to be the opponents are going to say what they're going to do. I'm just asking folks to look at the success record that we've had. Idaho coming out of this recession as well as we did. We're fifth in the nation in almost every important category for starting a business, developing a business, enlarging a business, and for the sustainable and safety of capital, the low risk of capital. We borrow money cheaper or as cheap as anybody in the United States. We just borrowed $475 million. Show you how good our credit rating is.
Right.
We've borrowed our bridge financing because we have to make large payments in September and then again in November to the school districts, 115 school districts all over the state. So we had to borrow the bridge financing in order to do that, and we paid 0.11 for $475 million. Now, that's $11 per every 100,000 that we borrowed. That was the rent that we had to pay on. There isn't anybody else can borrow money that cheap, any cheaper than that in the United States. For the other states. Our unemployment is 4.8, pretty good,
right.
2 points below the national average. We were voted the second best state to start a business up because of the safety of capital. We're behind Utah, but we're pushing Utah. We'll make them even better as
sure.
we push them. In almost every category, we're doing great, but we're coming up out of it. So the criticisms you can look at a glass, whether it's half full or half empty.
Right.
And, I've always tried to be optimistic and not so much get down in the dumps by the pessimism. But if you look at the print media, a lot of times, I guess that negativism is what sells. And it's just difficult for me to go there.
Let me hit you with this. What do you think of our friend Stephen Yates taking over the party? You and I have covered this, bringing the party back together. You're the leader of the party. Chairman Yates is clearly behind you. Your thoughts on on Chairman Yates and the Republican Party in this election?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve Yates has done exactly what needed to be done for the party, and that was to reach out to both sides, having come from neither camp, and say, listen, what's important here? Isn't November 4th the most important thing? Isn't Idaho continuing to be one of the most conservative states in the United States, the state that paid all through all this recession, paid its bills every year, never raised taxes, balanced its budget every year, and continued to be optimistic and lead the rest of the nation out of the recession? Isn't that what's important? And stands up for family. You know, I'm getting a lot of criticism, as you might expect, for defending Article 3, Section 28 of the Idaho Constitution, which defines marriage in Idaho as that union between one man and one woman. And, you know, we have spent $77,000, I think, total on that lawsuit so far. But, you know, what's the Constitution worth if it's not worth defending?
Well, Governor, let's talk about this for a moment, because it would be very easy for you to acquiesce. You know, you've got the tyranny of the bench overturning the will of the people in Idaho, and you're saying that's not right.
I am saying that's not right, but I'm also saying that when the governor and, you know, everybody who's getting ready, who's wanting to run off for office, will stand on those Capitol steps, on the constitutional office, on the floor of the House, on the floor of the Senate, when the legislature starts, everybody's going to raise their right hand, and they're going to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution and laws of the state of Idaho, in fulfilling the duties and obligations of their office to the best of their ability, so help them God. And you can't, unless you got a whole litany of things that you're not going to say, people that are saying, well, we could spend more money, other states spend more money than they got. Hey, Article 7, Section 11 of the Constitution of the state of Idaho says you can't do that. So I would fully expect people are going to be totally honest from what they're saying on the campaign to when they take the oath of office. They'll say, yeah, except this part, and this part of the Constitution.
Right.
I'll do exactly that to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Right.
You can't do that.
As a person who defends the Constitution, as a person of religious caliber, you know, you and I go to the same church.
Yeah.
We love the Lord. Your thoughts on, again, getting back to the same-sex marriage decision. Obviously, when this decision comes down, whether it's Utah's, whether it's Idaho's case, we expect it to go to the Supreme Court. How do you see that playing out?
First off, let me say all that I am, all that I have, and all that I ever will be, I owe to him. Himself, I call him. And I think I got a pretty good relationship with him. I think you've got to go as far as you can go. The court that we picked, we drew a bad hand. Two of the judges, settled four of these cases against the Constitution. Another two of the cases against the Constitution. The third one hasn't dealt with a same-sex marriage case. So, but just the questions that they ask, you know, tells me that it's probably going to go the other way, and we're going to end up in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. And I purposely didn't ask Scalia when he was out here anything about that.
Right.
Because I didn't want him to be in any way prejudge or prejudiced and have to recuse himself in case our Idaho and our Utah case gets up before the Supreme Court. But let me go back to what you were saying about Steve Yates.
Right.
And, I make anecdotal evidence. If you go back to, let's say, 1787, yesterday, September 17, 1787, there were 70 called, 55 showed up, but 39 signed the Constitution of the United States. They worked on it from May 25th until the 17th of September. And there were those, including one Patrick Henry,
right,
that said, no, I'm not signing that. I smell a rat. Well, his olfactory memory could reach out over 238 years into the Obama administration, I guess, because he did say, I'm not going to sign it because I don't trust you. So there was a fight in the family. But yet there were those that stayed there, and they said, hey, let's do the right thing. Frankly, I believe that they were lifted up by the Lord to,
right.
in order to accomplish that feat. And then I believe every generation has got to produce people that defend their great work, that miracle of Philadelphia. And so there are fights in families throughout history. And, you know, the difficulties or the arguments that we've had in our family. But there's one thing. The principle is more important than the person. And I think that's what we're realizing in the Republican Party in Idaho now, is the principle's more important than the person.
Governor, you've always been a source of optimism. And, you know, even when things are bad, even when it was the recession, what do you say to people as a husband, a father, a grandfather, that are very concerned about their children not having the same standard of living or a lower standard of living than they have currently?
Well, what I say is exactly what my parents said to me, you know, get a good education. You want a better life? We want you to have a better life. So my parents wanted us to have a good education. As a businessman, I knew that the next generation of French fries was sitting around in kindergarten or the sixth grade or high school or some college class just waiting to be creative. And for that creative genius in each and every one of the students to be challenged by a good teacher and as a political leader. You know, Franklin said it best, a well-educated citizenry is our first line of defense over any form of tyranny. If you can't enslave right. the mind, you can't enslave the body. So that's why we work so hard to reform education. Kevin, this is the first. Why am I so optimistic? This is the first time that I can remember in all the years that I've lived in Idaho all my life. I was born in Caldwell. And I went to schools. I went to private schools and public schools in Idaho. I went to college in Boise Junior College at the time and then the College of Idaho. And I can tell you that this is the first time I've ever seen a bipartisan, bicameral business and the education industry all agreeing on a reform package in education that's a five-year, $350 million plan. I've never seen this before. And I challenge anybody to come forward and say, when have we ever seen a multiple-year plan to do the reforms in education, to pay the teachers, to get them the ongoing education they need, to present them a tier ladder, to present them a career opportunity, and to increase their pay and pay them for the great performance that they've got the capacity to do in the classroom? We've never had that. We've got that now.
Governor, final question here. Speaking of education, we go to the schools all the time. Do you think that we get a bum rap when people say, oh, Idaho's this rank, that rank, when we have people that go to the Ivy League, that go to Stanford, that really achieve? How big of an issue is education to you if elected one more time?
Well, it's the top issue. That's our workforce. And the quality of our workforce is going to continue to bring in the kind of capital. Capital needs to be operated. Capital needs to be creative. You got to have creative people, motivated people, disciplined people in order to work that capital, in order to work at the job stations and or provide the services that are needed. And so education is the number one issue because economy is the number one. You want the kind of education system, we got to have a good, robust economy in order to gather the necessary revenues to pay for that. So it's all about education, and it's always been, you know, people will say it's, but what they look to is, all right, how much money are you spending? And I'm saying, Kevin, Idahoans are notorious for saying it's not how much money you spend, it's how you spend the money. And we get a better bounce for our buck. You know, that's why our teachers are the 31st in the nation in pay. You know, we pay more for our teachers than they do in Montana and you know, a couple of other states around us, Utah. And we're 31st in the nation there. When we look at our grades, we may be 48th or whatever they're saying now, or may have been. I'm going to say may have been because the latest figures don't reflect that we're second from the bottom in how much we pay. But the reason I don't emphasize that is because I don't think that's important. I think the results are important. take a look at the grades that our students get compared to the grades that Washington D.C. students get, where they pay $21,000 per student per year.
Governor, a final self-plug, a Kevin Miller Day, Kevin Miller Proclamation, Marconi. What do you think?
Oh, how about another 15 minutes?
As the Lieutenant Governor says, I have to go self-soap now, but you're always welcome to hang out with us, sir. Yes.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the time. And thanks for the great job you do in honoring our vets.
Well, thank you, and thank you for always being with us. You know, you're a great guy because a lot of people say, well, Governor Otter this, Governor that, Otter that. I go, out of anybody that I've been involved with in the last 20 years, you've always had an open hand to me when a friendship, no matter what I say. And I can't say that for everybody. Yeah. So God bless you. And thank you for always understanding the importance of our medium. Not everybody gets it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And once again, congratulations.
Have a good one.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's get you to traffic here at 580.